Hey there, thanks for tuning in to the Embodied Astrology Podcast. I'm Renee Sills, consulting astrologer, embodiment educator, and your host. Embodied Astrology is much more than a podcast. We are a thriving virtual community offering regular weekly and monthly classes, study groups, and more, exploring the intersections of astrology, creativity, arts, healing, and social change. Aries season has arrived, the astrological new year has begun, and we are headed into eclipse season and a Mercury retrograde. At this point in 2024, things are really starting to heat up. And as we look towards what's forecasted to be another hottest year on record, I'm guessing that many of you are ready for the kinds of changes that are bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. And you might be looking for ways to join forces with others who want to create futures on Earth that are vibrant, creative, and courageously committed to visions of reciprocity, reparation, and recalibration of values and power. At Embodied Astrology, we've been preparing to meet this moment. Beginning the weekend of March 23rd, we're launching a year of experimental programming that's geared towards shaping strategies for the future and crafting containers for new experiences of what community can feel like. Join us for a journey of experiential astrology, where you'll deepen your understanding of chart reading, symbolism, intuition, and divination, and work with astrology to support your artistic and creative practices, navigate through conflict transformation and repair, reawaken your relationships to Earth and the cosmos, and take part in exciting and inspiring conversations with astrologers, artists, activists, and others working in the intersections of mysticism and social change. Follow the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com to learn more. Now, your horoscopes. You're about to listen to your Aries season ahead reading, which is an excerpt from my 2024 year ahead readings. The 2024 readings are deep dives into the major themes and influences of the year for your sun, moon, and rising signs. They offer an abundance of information and support to help you make the most of what this year is bringing. You can download your full-length reading today from the link in the show notes or find them in the horoscope section at embodiedastrology.com. Okay, Gemini. So this is the overview for Aries season, March 19th through April 19th. This is the last seasonal overview I'm going to pre-record from 2023. After this, you're going to have to find me month to month. I'll be back with recordings made a little closer to the moment. So from December of 2023, here's an offering to Aries season in 2024. Aries season is turning up the heat. Aries is a fire sign. And whenever we are in Aries season, we are entering through the gate of the vernal equinox. And this is a place in space. The vernal equinox is a place in space where the Earth reaches a point in its rotation every year around the same time where we have equal nights and equal days. And in the Northern Hemisphere, this is the beginning of springtime. Things are changing remarkably, and light is getting longer, more pronounced. This is a period of time in which plants like dandelions proliferate, and woodpeckers are out and about. So we have bold, headstrong energy making appearances, and bold and headstrong are two keywords for Aries. So Gemini has a very special relationship with Aries because Aries holds the solar 11th house for Gemini. And the 11th house is one of the luckiest places in your chart. It is the place of good fortune. It is the place of good daimons, angels, spirits, helpers. It's the place of friends and networks and allegiances. It is associated with organizations and activism and movement work, and it is also where we cast our hopes and our fears and projections for the future. Aries season in 2024 is also eclipse season. We've been working with eclipses in Aries and Libra seasons, since the end of 2022. And this Aries season, we are going to get a total solar eclipse in Aries on April 8th. And then we'll have a lunar eclipse in Aries opposite sign Libra on March 25th. Eclipses are frequently periods of time that are very strange, I find. Eclipse energy to me feels really time warpy. There are often periods of time where I feel like time is bending. Themes of the past that might have been forgotten for a long time become really pronounced. Themes of the future that are being called in are highlighted. There might be events that happen that seem like they kind of come out of nowhere, but they're not surprising in some ways because they've been building for a while, if that makes sense. I've had a number of experiences in eclipse seasons where the feeling of something coming out of nowhere is like you're having a conversation, it's all chill, it's like a Saturday afternoon, you're talking about something that doesn't mean anything. And then someone says a thing and like all of a sudden something is happening. Like someone says a thing and there's a revelation. Someone says a thing and now we're in a fight. Someone says a thing and oh my gosh, that's the idea. Boom, something lands. And a lot of times this has been building for a while. So it's like someone says a thing and now we're in a fight. It's like this is going to be the fight of all the fights. Right, the things that we've been kind of fighting about for the last however many years, now this is the deciding fight. You know, some people might need to take a break after this. Someone says something and like, that's the idea. Well, we've been trying to work towards this idea for a while. We've been preparing for this idea for a while. We've been asking for the idea to come. So things can kind of like happen in a way that we're not expecting, we're not trying for, but then energy moves. And what moves is big. So a lot of astrologers and practitioners of astral magic will say during eclipse season, really try to rest your manifesting energy. Like don't be out there trying to make things happen. Rest and observe what is happening and be available to flow with what's being presented and pay attention. Especially, I want to underscore this in Aries season because Aries, as an energy, brings us into the individuated and egoic self, the me, myself, and I space. And Aries, as an energetic in our bodies, is very focusing and very goal-oriented. So when you see people that are like focused on a goal, they often get this kind of look in their eyes. If you know Aries people, you might just recognize that look from their normal face. My partner is an Aries actually, and I like call it like the wolf gaze because they look like a wolf, you know, they're just like focused and fierce and like this thing happens with their eyebrows and stuff. So that's the kind of energy where it's like we're focused on something, we're fierce about it, we're going to get it. And during eclipse season, we want to align ourselves in the flow of evolutionary energy. The symbol of eclipses astrologically has a lot to do with evolution and with karma and with the ripening of karma. So basically cause and effect, consequences of past actions. And often at eclipse times, we have options of some kind to work with our karma or work with the karma of the moment and to change things consciously. And so this is also where it's like things can kind of happen out of the blue because there's a readiness for change. Like all of a sudden we see a pattern and we're like, oh fuck, I don't want to do that anymore. So Aries season lights up your 11th house. This is the place of opportunities. This is the place of the future. This is the place of networks, friends, allies, and allegiances. This is a time when a lot of doors might be opening for Gemini, and conversations are incredibly important. Communications are key. And guess what? Mercury is retrograding. Your ruling planet, Mercury, the one that rules communication and conversation and contact with other people, is doing its retro thing that it does 3 times a year. And all the astrologers will say, when Mercury is retrograde, be careful about your communications, because perception isn't traveling in a forward flowing way. And retrogrades can sometimes include reversals of some kind. So I don't like to be an alarmist astrologer at all. I'm not going to tell you to not leave your house while there's a Mercury retrograde. I will definitely say that retrospection and reflection are crucial, especially when Mercury is retrograde in Aries. So let's go through Aries season sequentially. All of it is fire. The day before Aries season begins, on March 18th, Mercury conjuncts the North Node. 2 days later, the Sun in Aries makes an aspect to Pluto, recently entered into Aquarius. If we're Gemini identified, we are full of ideas right now. There are so many fucking ideas. You are like on fire when it comes to potential. That's what it feels like to me. It's like the word omnipotent comes to mind, and omni means everywhere, right? And potent is powerful. So potency in every direction is the feeling right now. And it feels like you just have a lot of power. You have a lot of possibility. Some of you might not feel this for yourself personally, and you might be feeling it in the world with a kind of sense of anticipation and like, oh my God, what's about to happen? I will say that on a collective level, Aries season looks bonkers. It looks like a period of time when people are really kind of unhinged. And so you might be really feeling that, and you're like, wow, okay, people are on fire also. Then we have the first eclipse on March 25th. This is an eclipse in your fellow air sign Libra. This eclipse is together with the South Node. The South Node is a releasing point. So when we're thinking about karmic evolution and patterns being ready to change, the South Node is representative of that. Libra holds your solar fifth house. This is a place that has to do with creative energy, with generative energy, with what you like to do for fun, your hobbies, your favorite pastimes, etc. This is also a place of romance, okay? It's not partnership. It's not like, are we going to go to the distance? Even though Libra as an energy likes to do that, the fifth house is sex for fun. It's flirting because it's fun. And Libra in this place gives Gemini your natural capacity to be a flirt. I'm just thinking about like Prince, you know, the Gemini Prince, the prince of all princes, right? Just so flirtatious, so charming, so witty. Libra in this placement boosts that vibe for you. The South Node is here, however, and so the feeling that I'm getting is you are not interested in superficial people pleasing right now. You're also not interested in having fun in ways that don't actually feel fun for you. And this could bring a kind of societal, discernment into your consciousness. And the word sardonic is coming up for me, but it's like, that's your sense of humor, your judgment or something. But there's a feeling here of like, maybe you've been friends with a group of friends for a long time and their idea of fun is just not fun for you. It's boring and you don't want to do it anymore. Or maybe you have been a person that like forever, like this is the thing that you did to have fun and now it's just not fun for you. It's not the thing. Same thing with what might have felt romantic. Same thing with how you engaged creatively. We are all creative people. We are all creating our lives. Creative energy is often where we go to resource or to find vitality or enjoyment for ourselves. And so there's a sensation here that you are really hungry for new kinds of stimulation and you are looking for new spaces to enjoy yourself in. And so this is an incredible opportunity opportunity of a time period to get out there. The 11th house is all about getting out there, traveling, meeting new people, making new connections. You've got a lot of 9th house energy these days as well. There might be opportunities for you to meet and mingle with all kinds of different people. And that is a great thing. That is a great thing. Now, with Mercury retrograde coming up, I will say, just notice what you notice and who you notice, and be careful about how you talk to people, because things have a way of catching up with you. This is definitely a time period when I'm going to say, Gemini, don't gossip. Don't gossip. Not all Geminis, believe it or not all Geminis are gossips. Actually, many of you are intensely private people, and you aren't going to gossip because you know that information travels. Be extra aware of that right now. Your thoughts are palpable to other people. Your words make an impact. If you want to make an impression, think and speak generously and appreciatively of who or what you want to make a good impression on. Even just using your thoughts will make waves right now. You want to be really discerning and careful about not spreading slander or anything that is potentially going to come back at you in a negative way.
Astrology, like many things in our world, is a system that has been shaped and distorted by patriarchy, white supremacy, and colonial imperialism. But we're lucky to be alive at a time when this language is evolving rapidly and providing healing, insight, and support for so many people. Astro's current revolution is due to the scholarship and praxis of philosophers, mystics, and oracles who pushed and continue to push against the way things have been written, orienting instead to radical, queer, and creative potentials of this craft. Embodied astrology is firmly rooted in a lineage of evolutionary expansion and ancestral repair. Our teaching team and community center queer and diverse approaches to working with symbolism and engaging astral mechanics and magic. If this sounds like something you're looking for, we hope that you'll join us for the launch of our new program the weekend of March 23rd and 24th. We start on Saturday, March 23rd, with a council session led by Sherry Taylor on the Femme Faces of Saturn. Sherry is a clinical psychologist, death doula, grief mentor, and practitioner of planetary allyship. This is her second year teaching with embodied astrology, and she's continuing in 2024 to deepen with the mystery school of Saturn's transit in Pisces. This special session sets the tone for a devotional cycle with Saturn and mythic mysteries of bone mothers and tenders of time. Drop in once and receive an initiation into your own practice, along with a workbook full of prompts and exercises, or sign up for the whole series and commit to a journey that will reshape your understanding of how to work with this important energy of obstacles and integration. Sunday, March 24th, Embodied Astrology is delighted to welcome back acclaimed author, playwright, and artist astrologer Junauda Petrus for her third year teaching with us. In 2024, by popular demand, Junauda will be expanding her artistic alchemy offerings from quarterly workshops to a monthly series. Join us every month near the full moon for a sweet and soulful gathering where we'll work with the transiting lunar solar axis in our charts and in our hearts. We'll reflect on how we show up for ourselves, our creative devotions, and the realities of surviving in a world that is filled with both beauty and uncertainty. In these sessions, we'll practice staying grounded with the rhythms of astrology and spirit, channeling the wisdom of cosmic alignment, and opening to celestial guidance from ancestors as support for balancing creative life in the real world. You can always drop in to one of Junauda's monthly gatherings or sign up for the whole year and get access to a virtual communion space where you can connect with other creatively minded seekers. All of our offerings are recorded for those who can't attend live. Embodied Astrology is committed to financial accessibility. You can find scholarship codes right on our checkout pages for sliding scale, and you can always write to us for more support if finances are a barrier. Click the link in our show notes or head to embodiedastrology.com to learn more and sign up.
From March 21st through April 3rd,
We have a lot of Venus contacts in your 10th house in Pisces. This increases the feeling of doors opening. This is an opportunistic period for you. If you are trying to get new opportunities for yourself, this is such a cool period of time. It is a great period of time to put out the feelers for things. It's a great period of time to network. It is, even though we're coming up on a Mercury retrograde, I would say it's not maybe, you can't always plan, you know, with retrogrades. So just trust it. Like if things just have to happen on their timing, they have to happen. But if you have any control for it, I would say this isn't necessarily the time to like put forward some kind of new proposal in a formal, finished way. But this is an amazing time to send out a letter of interest, to open a door. You are going to be in process with an idea, but you can get the idea moving, okay, as we are moving from March into April. Then on April 1st, Mercury stations retrograde, 27 degrees of Aries. Mercury will be retrograde until April 25th. It'll station direct at 15 Aries. So there is a process that you're in right now, I think, that has to do with rethinking some kind of plan. In terms of forward momentum and trajectory, this is a great time for research. This is a wonderful time to be figuring out how is some kind of future project or idea going to work out for you. This is also a period of time when some of you may need to be assessing relationships in groups that you're a part of, and that could include friendships. It could also include colleagueship or professional organizations. It can definitely include any kind of organizing or movement work. For any of you who are involved in organizing and movement work or activism of some kind, this is a very powerful time to be thinking about the messaging of your movement and doing some kind of field work and research and talking to people. Conversations about how people are actually feeling or feeling affected will glean a lot of important information at this point. April 8th, we get the total solar eclipse, 19 degrees of Aries. I think it's visible in many different places, but it's definitely visible in the eastern part of the so-called United States. If you are around there, you might want to see it. You might want to avoid it. I don't know, but it's happening. A lot of people are going to try and see it. So this is a powerful eclipse. And as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, I think that on a collective level, people are going to be on fire. There's like a on blast kind of sensation. Aries is an explosive energy. There might literally be some blasts in early April. It is an explosive period of time. And Aries, as an energy that is often associated to aggressive, assertive, projecting ways of being, is deeply tied symbolically to masculinity in the ways especially that masculinity has been imagined and defined in our current era. Warrior energy, soldier energy, the idea that like men can't cry or something like that. This kind of honestly like psychological torture and abuse that is imposed on people born with penises that creates a real intensification in the emotional body. And I think a lot of inverted repressed shame and pretty much all of the mass shooters, you know, in however many decades it's been at this point of like mass shootings have been men. And in the United States, at least, a lot of those shooters are white men. And what the kind of idea is of the American male, the white American male, is so reductive, right? When it comes to what a human could be. You're supposed to be strong, like don't have any feelings, like be the head of your family, like, you know, all these like ways of being that are unnaturally, unnecessarily aggressive, that are super projecting in the energy, not receiving, not receptive, really set people up to suffer and to create suffering for others. And so that kind of archetypal energy is getting really emphasized with this eclipse. It is conjunct the centaur planet Chiron and square to the asteroid Ceres. There are definitely feelings here of separation, rejection, and abandonment, and the psychological wounding and harming that happens when people are influenced by toxic individualism. You know, like it's all about you and your strength and what you can do on your own. And, you know, you can't have feelings and you can't be supported by community and like you can't fail, right? And then like what happens to people? So big themes, I think, are going to be resounding in our collective space as they have been for a long time, particularly around mental health and what happens to people's mental health when they are raised in cultures of violence and toxic individualism and toxic masculinity. Now, in your chart, Gemini, I'm going to say that you too are influenced by these themes, right? You are not separate from the water that you're swimming in. And this is the water, right? Toxic individualism, toxic masculinity, white supremacy, that is the water right now. We're kind of all in it. And the seeds of those ways of being are present. And so in your chart here in the 11th house, I would say, how are you working with these energies, particularly in your relationships to community and collective spaces and groups of people and organizations? Now, I'm not trying to make an association here between you and this person, but I will say, you know, Donald Trump is a Gemini. And I bet around the eclipse in April, he's going to be in the headlines as he has been for a while, but the way that he works, right, with groups and particularly with groups of people who are very identified around these notions of masculinity and individualism and strength, right, and like machismo, really resonate with him. And so as I've certainly talked about in your year ahead overview and in several of the last season's overviews, Gemini has a lot of power right now. There's a lot of power in your words. There's power in your thoughts. Are you using your power to bring people together or tear them apart? Are you using your power to increase your own egotistical power, or are you using your power to clarify and cleanse the ways that you relate with power in the world? I think that if you found your way to embodied astrology, you're probably interested in doing the work of repair and healing, particularly in the intergenerational, intercultural spaces that you might feel some of these energies flowing in. And so I'm going to say that this is a very powerful time for you to be connecting with folks in ways that are not seeking sameness, not trying to find homogeneity, but really looking for alliance and collective power in difference, right? There's so much creativity in the differences between us. The 11th space in the chart has so many associations to diversity and biodiversity. If you can use this period of time to diversify your friend groups, your socio-cultural experiences, you know, read authors who come from all over the world, right? Like try and learn a new language. Put yourself in places and spaces that have you contacting new kinds of information and let that information change you. And then bring yourself into those spaces with the confidence and courage of a person who is centered and grounded in themselves, right? Like, Donald Trump is not centered and grounded in himself. There's a lot of insecurity moving through that man. There's a lot of need for validation, external validation moving through that being. That is incredibly harmful. Needing and requiring external validation makes us unsafe. And this Aries season is an opportunity for you to really locate safety inside of yourself and feel your own sense of strength. And your sense of strength comes from your energetic awareness, from your capacity to be discerning, from your ability to contain your own energy and make wise choices about how and where you direct it. Now, this feeling of research and preparation is so palpable around this time. The week or so after the eclipse brings several aspects that feel really consolidating energetically for you. It feels like they increase focus. And this is important because the day after Aries season ends, the first day of Taurus season, we are getting the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus. Now, I'm going to talk more about this in Taurus season. So look for your embodied astrology month ahead reading. You can find it on all your favorite streaming platforms. I'll get back on my monthly rhythm for Taurus season. So I'll give you some kind of take on it then. But what I'll say now is that this conjunction is a powerful release of charge, and it is a huge opening. In Taurus, there is the idea of dense, unmoving earth or slow-moving earth. Uranus is an awakening, innovative, inventive, rebellious, revolutionary kind of energy. And Jupiter magnifies and expands, and it brings potentials for learning. It also can definitely heighten capacity for meaning-making. And there are so many ways to read this symbolically, and I think probably many of them will manifest. In general, in a collective sense, climate is going to be a huge theme in 2024, as it has been for the last few years. We are in a time of accelerating climate chaos that is not about to reduce or become less in 2024. It is just becoming more intense. And so there might be some significant climate events in April, especially as we move towards this conjunction. Earthquakes are really at the front of my mind, but many, many things could figure in here because the earth is changing. Taurus rules economies and markets, and so there might be considerable fluctuation, and especially in the Taurus ruled markets of property values, land and agriculture, food, bodies, bodily autonomy, human labor, human rights. These are big themes. This is a very revolutionary time. 2024 and 2025 are enormously revolutionary in terms of their symbolic resonances. And April is like the point of the year that has just 1,000 underlines underneath it when it comes to revolutionary catalysts. And in your chart, I'm going to say that whatever is happening in the collective is going to influence whatever plans you're trying to make. And so when I'm saying like not all the information is in yet over Mercury retrograde, try not to grasp on the outcome and be convinced that the thing that you think is going to be real. Give yourself the month of April and see how things go. And if you're trying to do things out there in the world, you need to be adaptive. You need to be responsive because the world is shifting right now. And something about your life, as is represented in your chart right now, I'm guessing has you involved with groups of people or with organizations or institutions that might have some kind of power over what it is that you are about to do or that you're trying to do. And underneath all of that, just on a subtle level, I would say that as we move towards April 20th, your consciousness is ready to grasp something that it has not grasped before. This is a new kind of revelation or experience that's coming in for you, and it has the potential to remarkably change certain outcomes and courses and trajectories. And so I will repeat what I said in your year ahead and what I talked about in Capricorn season. It's important that you have some periods this year of rest and retreat. And even though April looks like a period of time in which a lot of you are busy and you're out there and you want to be out there, around April 20th, if you can retreat, if you can give yourself some time and space, I think that you will be glad, because there's a lot of information that can come to you when you are just available for whatever is emerging in your consciousness. And so retreat, prayer, meditation, sleeping and dreaming, giving yourself creative practices that can help you like process and express in nonlinear ways are great ways to help support and facilitate this kind of awakening. And body-centered practices also are really helpful and impactful for you around this time. I teach a weekly class. I plan to still be teaching it by next April, called Somatic Space. And every week we are working with body-centered practices and meditation with current astrology. And this would be a great time for you to come check out some of our classes. Next year, I'll also be offering a monthly process and study group with my foundational course, Your Chart is a Body. And in that course, I am teaching an approach to chart reading and astrology reading that is somatic, that is embodied. And we do a lot of work with psychic capacity, with building intuition, with building resonance, with building clairsentience. And that would be awesome, I think, for you at this time, because there's a lot of information that wants to come through you and into you through your subtle senses, through your psychic senses and your intuitive senses. So please make the space for it. Thanks so much for tuning in with Embodied Astrology. This work wouldn't exist without a team. Big thanks to Alicia Mauji, Joe Stewart, Ash Good, Ariana Sears-Putowski, and Gabs404 for making it all happen with me, Renee Sills. As Pluto moves into Aquarius, one of the main things to remember is that teamwork makes our dreams work. In the spirit of community and collaboration, Embodied Astrology is in an active transition to becoming a collective multi-voice platform. This year, I've invited four facilitators with whom I've been working for the last several years to join me as core faculty in co-visioning and co-creating an exciting, innovative, and totally unique astrological studies program. Sherry Taylor, Junata Petrus, Ramon Parrish, Gabs404, and I are interested in how astrology can assist us in realizing embodied healing, radical imagination, and creative collective liberation. We're inviting you to join us in our explorations in small or big ways. Our full program will be an immersive and life-transforming experience that takes place over the course of 16 months. And most of our offerings also have opportunities to drop in for one or just a few sessions. For more information and to sign up, check the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com.